Dear Heavenly Father, we do come and worship you this morning as we remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem. We thank you for Holy Week, that is this week, remembering that you sent Jesus and that he died on the cross for us, but not only stayed dead, he came back to life, defeating sin and death. Be with us this morning as we worship you through hearing from your word. Again, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and minds. You would speak through me, that my words would be your words. And just thank you for this time that we have together. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hosanna! Happy Palm Sunday! There was a little boy who was sick on Palm Sunday, and he had to stay home from church with his mom. And when his dad returned from church, he was holding his palm branch. And the little boy was curious and said, "Well, why do you have a palm branch, Dad?" And Dad replied, "You see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. So we got palm branches today at church." And the little old boy replied, "Oh, man, the one Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus shows up." Not hopefully. Jesus is here. He just won't come riding in on a donkey. But Jesus is in the midst of us. Thank you, Spirit, for being with us. We have journeyed through multiple crossroads these past few weeks. We were on the crossroad of decision, deciding to follow Jesus. The crossroad of caring, taking care of those around us. The crossroad of suffering, realizing that Jesus understands our own sufferings. And then the crossroad of justice, where we studied that our human justice is flawed, but God's justice overcomes all. Because life's not fair, but God's justice is better than man's. Hallelujah. And when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we can approach the throne of grace, and he overlooks all of our sins. So we have three more crossroads that we're going to meet yet over these next few days. Thursday, at our Monday Thursday service, we're going to come to the crossroad of servanthood. Next Sunday, we'll finish up our series with the crossroad of life. Today, however, we will be approaching the crossroad of speaking out. I want to encourage you, before I go on, to come out to the Monday Thursday service on Thursday at 6:30. We'll have a meditation about being a servant to one another, and then celebrate the ordinances of feet washing and the Lord's Supper. And you may not understand why we call it Monday. The word Monday comes from the Latin mandatum, or command, which refers to the instructions Jesus gave his disciples at the Last Supper. Jesus commanded his disciples and us to go and do likewise. And don't let the idea of feet washing scare you away if you've never participated in that. It's an act of serving one another. And of course, no one will be forced to participate, but everyone is welcome to watch. So Monday Thursday is just a beautiful time to remember what Jesus did to prepare for the weekend ahead. And it's a time to prepare our heart as well for the weekend that we will be going through. So we've arrived at Holy Week, the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry. Now, we've gone out of order the past few weeks of the Easter story, but today we will be looking at Jesus arriving into Jerusalem, presenting himself to the people as the Messiah. As I said a few weeks ago, Jerusalem was overflowing with Jews from all over the world that came to celebrate the Passover together. It was the custom. Jesus knew this, and he used this opportunity to present himself as the Messiah, knowing full well that in just a few days, the same people who were crying out to him today would also be crying out, "Crucify him." And that had to have been a very bittersweet moment for him, if you think about it. These crowds were yelling his praise, "Hosanna!" And they would soon in turn and yell, "Crucify!" But I'm getting ahead of myself. Studying the passage today, I noticed that the events brought about different points of how and when we can speak out. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 reminds us there's a time for everything. And in verse 7, it reminds us that there is a time to be silent and a time to speak. There are times when we should be quiet and just listen to people. Sometimes being present is enough when actions speak louder than words. There are times when we should speak up and speak out, though. Sometimes we need to speak up and not be silent. And today we'll look at different times and ways this is needed. There are times when walking the way of Jesus means standing up and speaking out in a manner that might seem too forceful for some people. But first, let's look at Jesus riding triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem with his disciples at his side. So we'll be looking at Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 37 through 40. Luke 19, 37 through 40. I'll let you flip there if you have your Bible, and I know it's on the screen, but Luke 19, starting at verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Now, the three other Gospels also add that Hosanna, and I'm not sure why Luke admitted it, but the word Hosanna that we normally hear about literally means save, save. The crowd shouted, and I wonder if Jesus was thinking, that's exactly what I'm here to do. How right you are, but how little you understand. I've come to save. And without knowing all the details, the crowd was clearly articulating what Jesus came to do. And the phrase, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," is actually a quote from Psalm 118. But also, 500 years before this day, the prophet Zechariah had foretold the coming of the Messiah in these terms. He wrote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea." That's from Zechariah 9, 9 and 10. Again, 500 years before Jesus. In Luke 19, we see this prophecy coming true. Jesus approaching Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. Recognizing his kingship, people spread their cloaks on the road in front of him, and they waved palm branches. As Jesus was demonstrating that he was the Messiah, the people were welcoming him as their king. They had all seen evidence of his spiritual power, the healing of diseases, the withering of trees with a word or a touch. They had seen him calm storms and scatter demons. They had heard Jesus speak as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Jesus had not only made messianic claims, but he displayed messianic authority and power. Once more, as the people were openly acknowledging Jesus as Messiah, he openly received their praise. But it got to be too much for the Pharisees, who asked Jesus to rebuke his disciples and followers. It was as if they were saying, "You don't believe this about yourself, do you? Put a stop to this nonsense." But we read, Jesus says, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." In the same way, if we remain quiet, the rocks will cry out, speaking up in support of something that many might be against. There are times when we need to speak up in support of something that many might be against. And in this case, the crowds were in great support of Jesus. But there were a select few that weren't and tried to silence the crowds in doing so. Like the crowds and even all of creation, we need to be bold and speak up on behalf of Jesus. As Christians, it's easy to become complacent and only speak the gospel within the walls of church and in our Christian circles. But we must be bold in speaking the truth about Jesus. And as followers of Christ, we must speak with passion about the Savior we know, even when it's met with resistance by the world. I love what Chastity said this morning, what Carrie Underwood said on TV. Take your faith with you. Take it with you. And I don't mean that we need to shove the Bible down other people's throats or stand on street corners with signs that the end is near. But the world is watching how we act and are listening to things that we say and look at things that we do. And there may be some sitting here today, or perhaps someone we see or work with or see often, thinking about making a decision to follow Jesus, but first watching to see how we as Christians live. Are we setting the right example? Husbands and wives, are you setting the example of what a Christian marriage should look like inside and outside of the home? For example, I hate to hear when spouses put each other down to their friends and then never talk about their good qualities as well. I hate to see and hear leaders fighting over issues instead of taking the matter in prayer to the Lord. Individuals who speak out because they want things their way and only their way, with no room for discussion or change. Or people who criticize others without taking a hard look at themselves, as scriptures say, because they can't see the plank in their own eye. Now, I'm not saying I've witnessed these things from this body, but I'm just using these examples of things that I've witnessed, with myself included. I've done some of these things. These kinds of things that we need to be doing and setting an example for the rest of the world, speaking out through our actions. Moving along in our scripture, I want to jump ahead to verses 45 through 47. And another way that we should speak out. Luke 19, starting at verse 45. When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out all those who were selling. It is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Verse 48 says, yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. Jesus overturned the tables in the temple because the sellers were clearly in the wrong. He spoke out against their wrongdoings or against something many people were in favor of. Here, Jesus was greatly angered by what he was witnessing. The temple was full of business activities, which was hindering worship and taking advantage of the people there. Some scholars believe that the sellers there were being deceptive to the out-of-towners bringing their lambs into the Passover. You see, a family's Passover lamb had to be without blemish, and perhaps the people at the temple were making up things about the lambs that the people were presenting at the temple, saying that they had blemishes of some sort, which would in turn make the out-of-towners how to buy a perfect lamb from the temple. And perhaps that's why Jesus was so upset that they were taking advantage of the people who were coming into worship. But no matter what the people of the temple were doing, they had abandoned the primary calling of the temple. Communicating and communing with God had been replaced by religious activity for profit. Now again, I'm not saying that we should stop doing fundraisers in the church. We need to bring in the help and keep the church and other nonprofits going. But I don't believe that was what was going on here. Jesus demonstrated the importance, though, of standing up and speaking out against something that many were in favor of. And he also got their attention. Sometimes we need to look intentionally and internally into ourselves, into ways that we might be going against the primary calling that God has on our lives. Had the temple workers taken the time to evaluate what the true purpose was behind what they were doing and realized it wasn't what God intended, maybe Jesus wouldn't have had to make such a big scene. There are certainly a lot of things in our society that we could speak out against that many are in favor of. However, on the smaller scale, what about in your group of influence? Do you see things in your family, in your friends, or in yourself that you feel God is speaking to you about? What are things in your life that perhaps God is speaking to you? Maybe look internally before the Holy Spirit comes and flips some tables in your life to get your attention. If God is asking you to speak out against something to a particular person, first, do they know of God and his love, therefore his morals? We can't expect someone to change their actions or habits if they don't know the God who speaks out against them. Romans 10:14 says, "How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" You can't expect someone to jump on board because God says it's wrong when they don't know God personally, the God that created all things and the Savior who died for them on the cross. People don't want to change also if you don't show that you care about them and therefore might not trust that God cares for them either. What's the old saying? People won't care what you know until they know what you care. Non-believers might not care to know anything about God until they know that we care about them first. More on that in a minute. We do live in a me society. We're told to trust our gut, just be you. You do you, follow your heart. Happiness is what matters, just be a good person. And all those things are fine and good to an extent. I think we should be who God created us to be. And we should follow our God-given desires and seek happiness as long as it is, in fact, God that is directing us in that direction. But it was also Jesus who told us to take up our cross and follow me, which often involves speaking up in favor of things that others might not agree with and speaking out against things that so many others are in favor of. I want to remind us all, though, again, that we should be speaking out in love. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4, he wrote to them about unity and maturity in the body of Christ. He starts out the second half of this letter to them by stating that they are to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, being completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. And later in verse 15, he writes, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Truth must reign. And God does call us to speak out in truth. However, it shouldn't be used like a destructive hammer. It must be spoken in love and compassion, seeking to responsibly and righteously seeking after the well-being of the recipient. If God is calling us to speak the truth to others, we can't put them down. We must still show them respect. So there are a variety of things that we can take from this passage today. We should speak out four things Even when we know others are against it, like the crowd celebrating Jesus, even when the Pharisees and the other church leaders clearly weren't, we should speak out against things, even when there are so many others who clearly support it. We should look internally into ways that God might be speaking to us to get our attention, so the Holy Spirit doesn't have to come in and flip tables to get our attention. And finally, we need to speak the truth in love. This Holy Week, we celebrate the King that came gently riding in on a donkey, the symbol of peace. Hosanna in the highest to Jesus. And we should be crying out to him, thank you for saving us. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Even the rocks and all of creation won't stay silent, so neither may we. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this gentle reminder to be a wonderful example for you, to take you with us wherever we go, to speak up for you when we need it, to speak out for the things of you when it's called, and again, just to do everything in love. I thank you, Father, for this week that we're getting into, again, that we can remember the Jesus coming and serving and teaching and then dying for us on the cross. Help us to take that with us each day this week, this Holy Week. And then bring us back together as we celebrate Easter next week. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.